To old people, explain memes.
What?
That's us.
And, and I'm going to take you on a ride all around the island of Kauai.
And I'll show you a podcast app that's great because it lets you share. It's a social network.
I'm so excited. It's time for iOS Today.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/iOS today and get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. Today, time. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
Time to talk about our favorite iOS on the Apple Watch, on the iPhone, on the iPad, on the Apple TV, all the iOSs, but mostly the iPad, because this used to be iPad Today. And I have to say, it kind of does seem to be the core, the center, the heart
the
of
heart,
iOS
the
today.
Soul.
The soul.
Is it the heart or is it the soul?
It could be the liver. You know, people often think the heart's your most important organ. Try and live without a liver. I'm just saying.
The iPad is the liver,
it's the liver
of the iOS ecosystem.
Of the iOS gastronomic system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So today I thought we would talk about memes.
Memes.
Since we're young, we're hip.
We're with it. We know what the kids are doing. And YOLO FOMO FTW.
Mm-hmm. I stand for that. I stand for that.
Yes, girl.
Queen.
Yeah, queen.
Yeah. Okay, so you might be, Kevin is laughing at us. Not with us, at us. So
I just want to tell you that most memes are shared not by people under 30, but by people over 60. That is a fact.
What?
It is true.
Where'd you get that meme fact?
I saw it in a meme.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No, but honestly, I think that while kids enjoy memes, adults do too.
Oh, I absolutely
Even
enjoy
us olds.
Memes. So first, you might be embarrassed to ask, what is a meme?
You know, I was going to ask that, but I was too embarrassed.
Yeah. So what is a meme?
You're asking me?
Okay. The
term was coined.
Yes. It's an academic term.
It was. It's kind of an interesting story. And I looked it up just the other day and now I've forgotten it because I'm an old.
It's something, how something reverberates through culture.
Yeah. It's an element of a culture or system of behavior that may be considered to be passed from one individual to another by non-genetic means. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a viral image.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia says that the concept of meme was first mentioned by Richard Dawkins. We love Richard Dawkins. He is he's the guy who wrote a book everybody should read called The Selfish Gene. And he was talking in that case about evolution. But he thought memes should be considered a living structure, not just metaphorically.
He
says memes really reside in the brain. And sometimes you might think that because they're sticky. They're so resonant that you just get them. And then, of course, they pass virally. Online, as social media has really made memes the thing.
Did you know that there's a Meme Insider magazine?
What's that mean?
It's a magazine called Meme Insider. I have it pulled up here on the cover of Meme Insider. This month is Taylor Lorenz. That's her. She reports for The Atlantic. We've had her on Tech News Weekly. So if you want to, I mean, if this is basically the syllabus for this episode, if you want to go deeper into memes, check out Meme Insider magazine.
There used to be a great meme website that explained the memes. It was from Ben Ha, the guy who created
What the Meme or something. There is.
It's called What the Meme.
Is that what it, did you find
something
it?
Like that? I'm looking for it. Meme base, all your memes in our base. He created one of the earliest memes, or actually had the website for one of the earliest memes, which is I Can Has Cheeseburger. Who can ever forget I Can Has Cheeseburger?
I can not forget it.
Now, we don't want to show any spoilers. So some of these
end game
memes.
I have a good meme as a good example here. This is by Patrick Delahanty. He made me some memes. This one is my favorite. Russian collusion. That's how I got here.
He's using a meme generator with his son, Caden.
And so part of what memes are is they have a little bit of an inside joke. You have to be in the know. And so we're in the know, of course, because Patrick's wife, Caden's mom, is Russian, Svetlana. So Russian collusion.
Oh, I didn't get it.
Well, that's how I got here.
Now I get it. Yeah.
So I feel like that's an important part of memes.
Like, in Soviet Union, babies make you. No, that's wrong.
No. So it's like it's got some politics in there. So just, you know, it's like, is he going to get political? And then also there's a baby's face, always adorable. And then there's the in the know. Did you know?
So how did he make that, Megan Murray?
Well, so he made it with an app that's not in the app store anymore. But one way you can make
it. So this whole show really.
But this is, here's what I use.
You could do it by hand, obviously. And there are websites that meme generation.
Yeah, my favorite, because, there is no shortage of meme apps that will charge you $7.99 a week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$19.99 a
month.
Oh,
no, really?
Yes. They're one of those things where it's like, oh, you want to make a meme? I really want to make a meme. I guess I'll just buy this.
People must want it so badly.
So I use a website called ImageFlip, ImgFlip, to make memes. So here it is, and I can go make a meme, and then they have all these standard photos here, like from memes, like this one. You've seen this meme, right? Where it's like there's a guy. So here, I'll make a meme here. So text one.
That's a classic, by the way. This is a classic stock photo somebody found some years ago of a couple walking down the street, and the guy looks over his shoulder and is looking at a more attractive woman and thinking, I wish I were with her. That's kind of my subtext. So the way this is used in a meme, and by the way, we're really over-explaining it. So what is that? Read that out loud.
Okay, so here is the woman walking down the street, and it says, anything besides me talking. And then you're the dude, Leo, and there's me talking about iOS.
What?
So here's...
That's kind of accurate.
So anytime I'm talking, you are looking at anything besides me talking or thinking about paying attention to anything else besides me. So I've made this app. Let me change this to more specific. How about something shiny?
Something shiny, that's good. Or just
that's
squirrel.
Simpler. Okay, squirrel. That's good. That's good. We're making a meme together.
Making a meme.
Me.
So the trick with memes, though, is to you got to start with a known quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a picture that's been circulating for years. Actually, if you use this, you might be thought of as kind of an older.
Oh,
memer.
Really?
Well, it's been around for
years?
A long time.
I feel like a year, maybe.
Remember the Hitler meme? They took a clip from the movie, wonderful movie about Hitler, and it was in German.
Mm-hmm.
And so that meant you could do anything you want in the subtitles. And so that went around for a long time. But after a while, well, first of all, the movie company said, stop it. But also after a while, people said, stop it. We've had enough of that one. But that was a meme that took a long time. The key is to have a set of images. Now, my suggestion is go to Reddit and check it out, because Reddit is a meme machine.
Mean machine. Yeah, absolutely.
A mean green meme machine. Mm-hmm. So you'll find all the things the kids are talking about today. This is an app, and you can take this is not $16 a month. For $2, you can take the ads out, but it's free otherwise. It's called Meme Generator.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Admiral Akbar. He's the guy in Star Trek who said it's a trap, right? So we could take an Admiral Akbar. In fact, they even offer you example. You don't need to get me anything for Christmas. It's a trap. Get it?
Oh, yeah.
So the examples are nice because it tries to... No, let's not do that. Girl asks you if you want to walk with her. It's a trap. See, so they give... So if you are meme challenged, you can use the existing memes on here and get an idea. Here's Angry Walter. This, of course, is from the great movie, The Great Gatsby, which we all
the
love.
The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. I knew it was one of those. Here's an example. Am I the only one around here who flushes? I should give that to Josh Windisch used to
say that.
Yeah, I could have put that up. So this is a fun thing to do, is put this up on the cubicle wall, right? Am I the only one around here who uses incognito? So you get it. Am I the only one around here? And then who thinks pugs are ugly? I don't.
That's good.
That's a good one. So this is meme generator. And I like it because if you are meme challenged, you don't know what the memes are, you can go find some. It gives you a whole bunch to start with. But again, there's always that risk. And one of the reasons you might want to pay for a meme generator is there's always the risk that you're going to get a meme that's been done to death. There's Bob Ross. I wonder what... They don't have any examples for Bob Ross. I guess you should just know. You shouldn't. Bruce Lee. How about some Bruce Lee? Let's get an example.
So
intruder breaks in, gets served finest home ass kicking.
That's okay. It's really easy to go wrong on memes.
It is. Some people have meme tin ears. Now, this is a classic from The Lord of the Rings. Uh-huh. So we know that's 10 years old now. That's Boromir.
Right.
And I think that the original is one doesn't just go to whatever it was. What is it, Kevin? Mortar? One does not simply walk into Mordor, but they took this, and so one does not simply, and then sleep without a blanket. Okay. It's funny because it's true. Yeah. One does not simply eat the suggested serving size.
That's good.
Yeah, so you see, one does not simply stop eating Cheetos. So the key on a meme is that people have to recognize the original image, the original source. They have to know that quote, one does not simply walk into Mordor, and then supply the punchline. So it's really comedy in its most basic form.
But okay, so there's also the difference between memes and GIFs. Like many memes include GIFs. Some include
Static memes.
Yes.
This is one of the oldest memes. Do you know this meme?
No, it's a cat.
Ceiling cat.
See, a cat with a square cutting a hole in the ceiling and a cat looking through it.
Now, this picture apparently appeared at some point on the internet, and then people started memeifying it. Mm-hmm. Why are you looking pictures of other cats if you got me?
Good one.
Ceiling cat says. Your KD ratio is miserable. That's a gaming reference. Excuse me, sir. Do you have a moment to talk about Jesus Christ? Okay. So that's three of them. But that's going to be a little education for those of us who are meme impaired to understand that's like one of the oldest memes out there. Yeah. Look at all these memes. Alphabetical order. If you're not a memer and you want to pose as a memer poser.
Mm-hmm. That's a good place to start.
Dangerously Austin Powers. I noticed you don't have a case on your phone. I also like to live dangerously. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to do some emanated.
Well, okay. So I wanted to show, this meme. Sometimes people do memes just on Twitter where they show the GIF and then they write something like
you could start with an animated GIF, right?
Right. Yeah. So here was one again with the in jokes. I got this tweeted at me when you find out what gummy bears are made from. Because remember last week you told me things you don't want to eat.
Yeah,
I was eating gummy bears and I had no idea they're made from pig feet. Bones or something.
So really, that's not expressing the sentiment that you felt when I told you.
But
it's good.
It's funny.
It's a good use.
Good use.
I mean. So many keyboards, and you could get animated GIF keyboards, of course, on iOS, will provide the GIFs, and then you can provide the slogan. I think I like to use animated GIFs in texting because it can really add a certain je ne sais quoi. And most of the time, I don't know what's going on to your text.
It's true. So Giphy, I think, is the best. You probably already heard of this, but this is the Giphy app.
That's the one. And you can get a Giphy, G-I-P-H-Y.
Yes.
Because it's not confusing enough that G could be soft and it's Giphy, or it's hard and it's Giphy.
Giphy.
I think it's Giphy. I think we all say Giphy, don't we?
I say Giphy.
Yeah. But I say GIF.
Right.
So it's confusing.
So,
no one really knows.
So you probably know that Giphy and Giphy are included in your iMessage. So that's a nice way to just send.
You don't have to install it. It's automatically.
The images, not the Giphy app isn't in there. But if you, let's see, I don't want to show my messages until I know what's in there. So let's see. This is all fine. If you just, you can show my screen. So if you just touch that little thing that is installed, you'll find all of these.
Oh, look at those.
Just, responses.
You know, I've had it for so long, I didn't really realize that that came with the iOS. That's nice.
Some.
Now, we've talked before about Jim Jab.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Jab. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Jib Jab is not free.
No.
What I do is on holiday seasons, I'll pay the $5 for that month to get some great mm-hmm. Jib Jabs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, here's how we use Jib Jab. First of all, we want our faces in here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good face.
Okay. And then we want other faces in here. You can try different things. That looks pretty much like me. Yeah, Mother's Day is coming up. And, you know, I like to send Mom. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you got to pay for that one. See, mm-hmm. I like to send Mom, but I would put like maybe the kids in there and send right. Mom. I mean, of course, there's always, you know, you could floss and share that right now and done. And now I'm going to send this to my health coach, who's going to wonder what the hell. So there's quite a few free ones. I'm glad to see. Here's a good one for Mother's Day. I think that's a really dynamite.
That is a really good one.
That's Jib Jab. And it does not come with iOS, but it is an awesome thing to have. Here we go. By the way, you may remember Mom. You can show this now. You may remember Mom on the show saying, mm-hmm. I want a lemon tree.
Yeah.
I did send her a lemon tree. So she's going to get this.
And the lemon tree. She's going to love both, I think.
She'll really enjoy it.
Here's one that...
That's not a meme exactly. But
no.
But it's make your own time, right? Yeah. And so, they do have some meme images you can add yourself to.
I have one that is free that's similar and I think timely. It's called Morphin, and it has all the Avengers
GIFs. Oh, there's Stan Lee.
And you can put
your
face in here. So I'm going to click Tony Stark. I've already put my face in there before. And then I can add text. What should my text be?
That's your face?
That's my face. I don't want to add text.
Now that is looks like not Avengers, but Game of Thrones. Or do they do that
in
Avengers
too? No, that's Tony Stark.
Oh, wow.
That's Tony Stark. See?
You don't really fit in his head.
I don't really.
He kind of fell down into the collar.
Let's try that. There's my faces. Maybe I can make another face.
Oh, jeez.
Here.
Make another face.
You make a face. I'll put you in there. You have to close your mouth for some reason.
It actually knew my mouth was open? That's interesting.
Okay, so I took the picture taken. Oh, and then as it's making one, it's going to ask, what state is Peter Quill from? Oh, sorry. Missouri. Ooh. Are they Ravagers? They're Ravagers.
Ravagers.
What is the Star-Lord's... Oh, alter ego is Peter Quill, right?
As you know now, he's from Missouri.
What is the name of the group of space pirates that found Star-Lord when he was young? Those are pirateers, right? Or are those Ravagers?
Ask Kevin. I don't know. I'm too old for this stuff.
I don't even know if we're getting them right or not. What is the name of the evil version of Star-Lord?
This is just to keep you busy while it's generating the GIF.
Star-Kill. I don't know if that's right either. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, that was easy.
Okay, so there you are.
Hey, I like it.
You're Peter Quill.
I'm reeling them in.
Obscene gesture alert. I could share this on Facebook, or I could I'm gonna save it and
that's actually
then I
good I would like
it.
You to send that to me.
Okay, I will send it to
I
you
could
so
use
here
that.
It is.
I'm not sending it to Mom though.
There it is.
She might have a heart attack.
You can show that and then I'll just
So it has the it's blurred out in the
I'm gonna airdrop it to you. Yeah, it's blurred out. I'm gonna send it to Colleen. No, I don't, because that she could. I won't send it to Colleen because she would be confused. I mean, not confused, but it's not nice to send that. It's not a particularly nice.
But you know, my face looks just right in there.
Yeah,
like yours, which is falling down into the collar.
Well,
but you know,
like
they made
hair.
The eyebrows do that. That wasn't originally there.
That is what your eyebrows look like, actually.
Oh, is it?
No.
Okay.
So that's
what
called
my
Morphin,
shoulders look like.
And that's free.
Morphin.
Morphin.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
One thing about GIFs is they're not necessarily accessible because of the text on the screen. So, you know, screen readers don't always
I never thought of
read
that.
Them. Yeah.
So there's people who are GIF enfranchised.
Yes. And it's kind of a weird thing because it's like GIFs aren't that funny that you're like, oh, please explain that to me because no. It's probably not worth
it. If you explain it, it's probably not funny.
Right. Exactly. So I did find an Instagram account that is for the visually impaired. It's GIFs that are explained. And it's also the text is above there where screen readers can read it.
Oh, this is
like,
nice.
Here's one. No alt text or image description. Visually impaired people. All right. Keep your secrets.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's the Hobbit guy. What's his name again?
Yeah, the Hobbit guy, I think, is right, actually.
Frodo. He's so disgusted that we couldn't come up with the name Frodo. So this is the way the text is accessible.
You sure that's not Bilbo?
No, that's Bilbo's Frodo. The old one.
Okay. Freddie
Mr.
Mercury
Robot.
In Queen. Oh, no.
But isn't he from, isn't that
yes,
the
Mr. Robot?
Robot. Yeah. Okay. So that Instagram account is ECBO?
B0, it looks like.
E.C.B.0.
Okay.
But we'll have that in the show notes.
Nice.
So it's just something to think about as you're
That's
making
great.
Memes. Also, when you're posting anything on Twitter, it's very easy now to add alt text. Because a lot of your
Please
jokes
do.
Might be visual, and then they don't make sense to people.
You know why this is timely? Because Twitter just this week allowed you to add animated GIFs to your replies on Twitter.
Oh, right.
Which is really something that's been missing all this time. Because honestly, when you're responding to somebody on Twitter, you want to bring the snark.
Mm-hmm. You do.
So I think this is that's a big improvement on Twitter, mm-hmm. and it'll make Twitter even more healthy, friendly, and happy of mm-hmm. a place to hang out.
That's nice. I have more apps.
Please.
Okay.
I'm done.
This one.
I showed you my big two. It's over.
So this one is a subscription. It's $7.99 a month, but it's more than just memes. It's more of like graphics.
It looks like greeting cards.
Yeah, you can make a greeting card with this, or you could make a hipster wedding invitation, or you can make a film noir invitation. You can make images for your YouTube or.
Well, I was just going to say this would be great to make cards, still cards for videos as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could import this into iMovie or mm-hmm. Clips.
So I like to use the stickers. I made this of Micah Sargent, friend of the show, Micah Sargent, because he was feeling down.
Aww,
and so I
did
made
you cheer him up.
Yes. So you can let's do a new project. Let me see. I think I will take this video of you, this picture of you. And add some stickers to it.
Don't send that to poor Micah.
No, I'm not going to send it. I'm just going to add some stickers. So. You could send this to your mom. Like, you could do...
Best mom ever as I flip her off. Mm-hmm. Great.
Or you could... Here's this. Well, you can't really... You're just looking at your hands.
Oh, I see. It's just a still. You're not going to send her this.
So you could put this sticker like you're looking at your hands.
I like
and
that.
You're saying, wow. I like this because there's just a ton of stickers. Here's the Year of the Pig stickers.
Oh, yeah. That's the year we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. I could give you a little face tattoo.
Some say boar.
Mm-hmm. I'm giving you a face tattoo.
Nice. A pig face tattoo.
Well, it says Year of the Pig there. It says the characters.
That's cool.
So, Bizarre, if you're really looking more not just to make memes, but to just make lots of images or Mother's Day cards, then Bizarre, and it's $7.99 a month.
I hate the monthly thing. BUZZART. BuzzArt.
Yeah, BuzzArt.
BuzzArt.
And nice. I think nice. That's all I have to say about memes. Oh, no, it's not all I have to say about memes. I remembered. Okay, so memes can sometimes get you in trouble if you're posting them on social media. Like, you know, remember, especially Twitter, you're posting it to everybody. So people, you have no idea. People might misunderstand you. So I share memes just in with close groups of friends.
Right.
Just through the Photos app. So
right.
Let me open this.
Don't share that with anybody.
So let's see. There's a bunch of memes. A friend of mine always shares some funny ones. Oh, here's a good one. So here's a meme she shared with me.
And you see, this is a tweet, actually.
Right.
Me, I'm terrified of random letters. Therapist, you are? Me, screams. Oh, I see. Screams.
Get it? You are?
Oh, you are?
You are?
Oh, I see.
Oh, I see.
Boy, that's so
it's
bad.
It's very visual. So if you're not looking at this, it's...
And then somebody replied, that's such a solid joke. OMG.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I made a mistake. It's not in replies. It's in retweets that you can put GIFs now. You could put it in replies before.
Right. Retweets.
Retweets.
Yes, right. Okay.
But retweets, to me, when I reply, I'm almost always retreating because I want to have the context in the tweet. So that's why I was confused.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So here's a meme that I found on SparkNotes.
This is good for your book group.
Yeah, exactly. So SparkNotes is, you know, they're like the Cliff Notes. And they have a great account where they send memes. So this is... apparently, this is a meme. I've never seen it, but it's a guy holding a gigantic bottle of olive oil and putting it on a very small salad. And so the guy, it says Holden Caulfield, and then the oil, it says lousy moron phony if you want to know the truth and it kills me. And then the salad is a normal conversation.
So this is a very long way to go to mention that in Catcher in the Rye, Holden Caulfield, who was a teenager from the 50s, interjects these words
on a normal conversation
all the time.
Yeah.
Lousy,
so it's like if you want
to.
So if I want to share this, just like Leo and I, we like to share.
That is for the
memes,
book group.
Or yeah, just for my book group.
Yeah.
You just make a shared album, and then you could see I have this shared album that says funny here. And I just add ha 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 ha, and then it's shared with my funny. And you can add people to
cute. Are you going to actually do that?
Yeah. Because it is funny.
Well, it's mildly amusing.
Yeah.
It's not laugh out loud funny.
I laughed out loud.
Did you? Really?
I was a fan of Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah. Who wasn't?
I know. Who wasn't? And speaking of great literature and great writing.
If you want to be a better writer, you know, actually, I think Grammarly, if it saw a lousy... phony. Mm-hmm. It would say, maybe you want to find a synonym. Here's a synonym.
Yeah, I don't think Grammarly would have thought much of Holden Caulfield.
No, it would have. It might have ruined the book, by the way. J.D. Salinger did not use Grammarly. However, you don't want to put lousy and, you know, phony in your writing. Well,
not too much.
One of the things that's great about Grammarly is it's context aware. It understands what you're writing. So you might want to put that in a blog post and Grammarly say, yeah, it's a relaxed speech. That's fine. But if you're writing a business proposal, definitely you don't want that. And Grammarly helps you do it.
And they're not going to change it for you either. They're just going to suggest.
Say, if J.D. Salinger wanted
to keep lousy, Grammarly would let him keep lousy.
Grammarly helps everyone improve their writing. It's all about communication, right? You want your writing to be free of mistakes, but you want it both. You want it to be clear and effective. So, of course, free of mistakes is the beginning because, if you know, frankly, I judge people on the words they use. And if somebody sent me a resume that was full of typos or even one or two typos, I would really question their attention to detail, right? So it's going to help you with that. But it's also going to help you get the ideas across. And that's something a little bit more subtle and a little bit more difficult. They'll actually rate your writing based on readability. And they look for all sorts of advanced stuff, punctuation, structure, style, given a certain context. So if you're writing a novel, it's going to say, oh, that's different than an academic essay. Vocabulary suggestions, conciseness, readability. It even helps you. Well, I have a friend who sometimes writes brusque emails.
Mm-hmm.
She uses Grammarly, loves it. And every once in a while I say, you know, you might want to soften that up. It seems a little brusque. She says, that's great. I really appreciate it. I'm not trying to be brusque. So Grammarly helps you match your intent to what you're writing. And I think that's really fantastic. Grammarly works everywhere you do. Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, iOS, Android, Windows, Mac. They have a free product. You could try that. That does critical spelling and grammar errors. But you want the Grammarly Premium, I think, because that's going to get you a lot farther. Accomplish your goals. Stop making email typos in your phone. I get so many emails from people that says, pardon the typos, I'm on my phone. Just forget that. You could change that. Don't make them anymore at all. Close more deals at work this year with your emails. Polish your resume to get that job. I love Grammarly. You will too. Grammarly.com/iOS today. We've got 20% off your Grammarly premium account. That's a good deal. Grammarly. Grammarly.com/iOS today. 20% off. right now. So use that special address. Let them know you heard it on iOS Today. And we thank Grammarly for giving you all 20% off and keeping this show on the air. Grammarly.com/iOS Today.
So I've got something to show you, something new.
Okay.
You're familiar with the Wyzecam.
Love the Wyzecam.
They just released the Wyzecam Sense.
This is the funniest thing, because we were looking at this on Twig a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't clear from the blog post that this was Tiny. That box has it all in there.
It has it all in here. So here is the Wyzecam is our favorite camera. Here it is.
Because it's inexpensive. $20 bucks. You can get the Wyzecam Pam for $30. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a monthly fee.
Nope.
You could see the video on your phone. You could put a micro SD card in there. It'll record. I mean, it really does everything you want. And by the way, yesterday on Security Now, we were talking about the fact that a much more expensive brand name camera, a D-Link, was sending your video, streaming it through the air without encryption so that anybody could see it. And people said, well, let's check Wyzecam. Mm-hmm. They do it all right. It's fully encrypted. It protects your privacy. And because you're not storing your video on some site out there, I think this is a really good choice for privacy enthusiasts. Because people, when you put a camera in the house, sometimes people go, well, I don't know.
Yeah. They also do two-factor.
Yeah. Yeah, so, which you should absolutely use. So the camera's been around for a while. What is this?
This is the Wyzecam. So it's a motion sensor.
Oh, that's a motion sensor.
And two door sensors.
So what's cool is how small those are.
Yes, and they're magnetic.
So you put those on the door so you'll get notified when the door opens. Or you can put them on a window and the window opens.
Yeah. So,
and you can see motion in your house from this motion sensor. And it all comes in that little teeny box.
Right. So you you seal it and then it'll notify you. Because I think, a lot of people don't love having cameras inside the house. But I have my Wyze camera pointing outside the house.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It's nice also to know if a door's opening or a window's opening, or perhaps you want to know if someone in your house is opening the liquor cabinet. Suppose you happen to live with three teenagers.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yes.
You're cagey.
Or the cookie jar, or the place where, I don't know, or the medicine cabinet, anything.
It's inexpensive.
Yeah. It's
$20.
That's $19.99.
For those, you get what, two sensors and a motion detector.
Right. And then you get, this is the little bridge here that just connects to the back.
That's kind of amazing.
So you don't need to buy a new camera. You can use your Wyze that you already have.
Look at that. Oh my goodness. So this is a company, a U.S.-based company. Obviously, these are probably made in China, but the company's U.S.-based with a real commitment, I think, to privacy and to price. They said, we don't have to charge that much. We want to build a giant user base and offer them all kinds of additional features. So we're going to make it affordable. And it almost makes me wonder, why would you go anywhere else?
I mean, more high-end camera can do a few other things. But
the pan cam will actually look for motion, notify you. I mean, it does a lot of things.
And I think I just like the basic one. You don't really need the pan cam, in my opinion. But what I do like is they showed on the video, they do include, so you don't have to like search all around for it, because for a paperclip, that's
they include a paperclip. Isn't that nice of them?
Just there.
Oh, that's the reset button.
Yeah, the reset button. So. Nice. So it's super easy to set up. I'm going to do a full review on Hands-On Tech.
Great.
But I just wanted to mention, you can buy it now.
$20 for the starter kit. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. And I love it that there's no monthly fee.
Mm-hmm.
You get notified on your phone if something happens.
Right. And yeah, I mean, either you buy an SD card if you want to have a record of that video, or you don't.
Right.
So
SD cards are cheap.
Exactly. So I did order the Beats, the new
the
Beats.
Power Beats.
Power
Are you
Beats
wearing
Pro.
Them right now?
No, I haven't gotten them. I did not stay up all night. I ordered them first thing in the morning. So I don't know if the people, I know you had Lori Gill talking all about them yesterday.
Well, I think they both Lori and Renee Ritchie, I think, have review units for iMore.
Yeah.
Got them before us.
Yeah, so I'll probably have that review at least next week or the week after.
Good.
But
they're kind of over-the-ear headphones that do almost everything that the AirPods do for $100 more.
Right. They have the same chip in them. And
But they go over your ears, so they're a little expensive. Bit less prone to falling out.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
So I know you yesterday talked about the man who swallowed the AirPod. You talked about that on MacBreak Weekly. This week, MacBreak Weekly came before iOS Today. So now
Maybe we should do that from now on.
Maybe. But did you talk about Carolyn Haskins' article in Motherboard about AirPods being a tragedy in terms of the fact that they're going to be around forever and they mostly only last 18 months.
Yeah. You can't change the battery.
Yeah. You can't change the battery. They can't be recycled. They can't even be thrown away because they might start a fire. Not great.
But if you think about it, every plastic toothbrush ever made is also around. And this is plastic. This is the... Now, the little bit different thing here is that it's got a battery in it.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, 18 months, you have one pair. That's a smaller amount of waste than how many toothbrushes do you go through in 18 months?
You switch out your toothbrush in 18
every
months?
Every 3 months you're supposed to.
Oh, your little toothbrush.
No, your big toothbrush, any toothbrush.
Well, you can
I think this is a
those.
Tragedy, but it's not a tragedy restricted to the AirPod.
But
it is the tragedy of modern life. We do not make... recyclable devices.
Mm. But you need to brush your teeth. Do you need AirPods?
Well, you could buy a bamboo toothbrush that's biodegradable.
Right.
They make them.
Right.
I think one thing people are responding to is they're not buying a new phone every 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's probably more for economic reasons, but it certainly helps the landfill issue. Apple does have Liam, the recycling robot that can mm-hmm. take apart iPhones, but to date, they haven't any, as far as we know, plans for recycling AirPods. Maybe this article will shame them
into
it.
I mean, I think that's the idea. Like, you're not going to go over after every toothbrush maker, but you could go after Apple in this way and have people maybe think, oh, well, was I going to?
Is that a meme? That's a meme. Louis the 16th, the guillotine is coming. Oh my God, he has AirPods. He can't hear us. That isn't even funny.
No.
This is what... Oh, the guy's got a toothbrush in his ear.
Okay.
Now that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the head to a electric toothbrush. This does look, in fact, very much like the AirPods. And I should point out, you know, the biggest difference in the AirPods is they have a small lithium-ion battery in there, which really ought to be recycled. I'm pretty sure if you give them to Apple, they'll attempt to recycle them, right?
I don't know. What did you do with yours?
I still have them. I have them all. Some have disappeared. They're probably under the bed.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like I've had mine original ones for longer than 18 months, and they still work.
Well, you have it's not the time; it's the number of charge cycles.
Oh yeah, because I never use them.
Yeah,
so that's why they still work.
So yeah, I mean, this is not the first time there was. Here's an article from Wired 2016: Apple AirPods are all but impossible to recycle.
Right. Well, yeah, Kyle Weens from iFixit right away the first week they came out gave it a zero. It's the lowest they've ever given.
Yeah. So recycling, I mean, Apple's not famous for creating recyclable products, but nor is anyone else in the consumer electronics industry. It's the nature of modern life, sad to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Apple, as of March, started offering a recycling program
for AirPods.
That's good. So check with
your drawer.
Don't put them in the drawer.
Don't throw them away.
Check with your, let's see, you have to select other devices on the Apple page. So that is good news. At least Apple's trying to do something. It is absolutely the case that Kyle Weens and iFixit have mentioned this many times, that normal recycling centers just aren't equipped to handle these kinds of devices with the lithium-ion batteries in them. In fact, there are fires all the time from puncturing these batteries. It's estimated Apple, how many iPods, AirPods has Apple sold? We don't know. Apple's
I don't
not
think
saying. Yeah. So as with everything, at least Apple does offer in-store recycling. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of that.
Mark Gurman had an interesting piece on Bloomberg. We're going to talk to him tomorrow on Tech News Weekly. But just a few things to look for in iOS 13. There's going to be an upgrade to the Reminders app, making it more robust.
It's about time. Remind me to check in with that in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. And the Health app is also going to tell you certain things about your health based on various factors, including how loudly you're listening to music and how loud the sound is around you. So it's going to tell you your ear health.
That's a very interesting and a good idea, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in effect, they're going to put a sound pressure meter in a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And I know you talked about Mark's other piece about the Apple Store The failures of the Apple Store. You talked about that.
Yeah, he blamed, and he talked to a lot of off-the-record anonymous former store employees who blamed Angela Ahrens, the mm-hmm. former head of Apple Retail, who focused more on brand than on service at the Apple stores. But I think our panel, and we talked about it yesterday on MacBreak Weekly, I think our panel made a pretty strong case that this was happening anyway. What Ahrens did was eliminate lines. Because I don't know if you remember, but in the early days of the iPhone, you would get up early in the morning mm-hmm. or, you know, 2 a.m, you'd go down to the store, you'd get in line. Getting something fixed at an Apple store often involved a long wait in a line. So maybe it wasn't just brand she was promoting, but the idea of, well, we got to figure out a way to handle this immense amount of volume that these Apple stores now handle in a way that doesn't keep people waiting in line. So they created the Genius reservation system. The idea of, instead of a Genius bar, the Geniuses are in a grove in some stores or floating around. The idea that when you arrive at a store, you check in and then are assigned to somebody. His article pointed out it's very hard to buy something nowadays in an Apple store because once you pick up the product, then you have to track somebody down to buy it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that hard.
No.
I've been able to do that. But really what Angela Ahrens changed is that she made it possible for you to order an iPhone online and get it delivered to you. They basically eliminated the lines. You can make a Genius Bar appointment on the website and show up. And in most cases, they'll take you right away. So I think that the real problem is the success of the Apple Store. And she's gone now. But for her 5-year tenure, she did everything she could to make it at least not a horrible experience.
Mm-hmm. Interesting piece in Polygon today or yesterday, I think, about Fortnite. Fortnite headline, Fortnite is free, but kids are getting bullied into spending money. So apparently it is not cool to have the standard avatar in Fortnite. You got to level up to be the banana or the fish or whatever. I thought this was pretty interesting because I do have a kid who plays a lot of Fortnite and got iTunes gift cards for his birthday, and that's what he wanted to spend
sure.
it on. And that's fine. I don't care.
Billions of dollars in revenue without... But that's peer pressure. That's just the new form of peer pressure.
Right. It's like when I had to wear a certain, you know, jeans.
Right.
And you learn about that. Like, you don't...
Hey, at least a you know, $5 Fortnite skin is less than a pair of Jordache mm-hmm. jeans.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I think... so this tweet, the 9-year-old boys in my house don't call each other losers. They say he's a default. The name Fortnite players haven't earned better skins yet. So you can earn the skins too, right? It's not just
Well, and that's money. Smart because that means Epic is associating these skins with achievement.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy them too, though.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you the feeling, well, I'm better than just a default person. I've achieved something.
I think it's, I don't care that my kids, bullying will happen about whatever. It's not, I don't think bullying is the issue.
Yeah, it could be you have the wrong eye makeup or your hair color's
right.
off or, you know.
This, that doesn't
and
end.
There can be much more costly and difficult
right.
things, you know.
It doesn't end at childhood. Hmm. It just continues.
I mock
There's
you every
something.
Day.
Gotta have the better Tesla, gotta have the better
it's
everything.
True. It's such a world we live
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, you don't have the new Power Beats? Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Exactly. Gotta get the AirPods, gotta have the. I actually think at least the outfits in Fortnite aren't ending up in a landfill. So I'll say that. I'm okay with kids wanting, you know, and sometimes you'll know that. You can't afford it. That's life.
I think it does. I think some of this is just kind of indignation at the whole idea of a virtual economy, that mm-hmm. people just hate it, that there are people spending real money for non-physical goods.
Right.
But honestly, what's the difference between that and a pair of Jordache jeans or Air Jordans? I mean, they're just as silly.
Right. If I didn't, balk when my daughter wanted to go out and spend her allowance on makeup, I'm not going to balk when my son wants to spend his outfit, you know, his money on an outfit in Fortnite.
Would you balk if your son wanted to spend his fortune on makeup?
I wouldn't.
No.
I would not at all.
Because you're a good mother.
The best.
Would you give him smoky eye tips?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, of course
sure.
you would.
I mean, actually, they might give
love.
Me smoky eye tips.
Mom taught me everything I know about smoky eyes.
Did you watch Veep? There was a good smoky eye.
It was a very good smoky eye moment.
Where'd
in Veep?
You learn the smoky eye? And I was like, where did I hear that? I have one more piece of news, and then we're going to move on to your feedback. I just love this. And I don't know if you're going to be able to open it, Kevin, because it's at Apple News. But this guy turned his iPhone into art.
I've been seeing a lot of these on Reddit lately. This is a very popular thing to do, is to explode your old device. Instead of putting it in the landfill, explode it so you see all the parts and then frame it. And this is one of many, many. If you, if you're on the iPhone Reddit subreddit, you'll see a lot of these. Yeah. So, it's a really good. He did it in a 3D box, so it's kind of floating, which is nice.
And he will actually do it for you if you send your old.
Oh.
So that's a good. I mean, I that is better than a landfill. That's art.
Yeah. Well, you may notice that on the wall of my office and here in the studio, we have a variety of circuit boards and things. I have a 2FX motherboard framed, somebody made for me. I have my favorite is a bit of something really ancient computer history called a core memory. In the early days before you had solid state RAM like we have now everywhere, you had actually put a little donut magnet on two or three wires crisscrossed holding the magnet, and that's how you would store stuff in memory. And somebody sent me, this is that the core? No, that's the 2FX, but that's pretty awesome. Well, you can bring it over here. It's okay.
Is it taken apart donut. Or just?
No, well, it's, you know, it's same idea. It's not exploded. Union Station number nine, Gary Godfrey, $530. I don't think, oh yeah, it is. Black frame, black suede mat, gray flannel float, unpainted motherboard. Thank you, Gary Godfrey. I didn't realize this cost so much, but I appreciate it. That it, this, it's not surprising because this is the motherboard from the most expensive Mac of all time at the at that time, which was the Mac 2FX. Which we often said stood for too effing expensive.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the idea of doing that I think is great because it highlights the beauty, really, that's in these devices.
Mm-hmm. And all the screws.
It's highly functional, but it's also, I think, kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Well, our request for videos has been met.
Oh, hallelujah.
Alan, yes. Alan sent us this video about magazines.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Alan from Oak Park. I've got a comment about the episode dealing with Apple News Plus. I just wanted to recommend that if people are interested in magazine apps, that they start with whatever the app is that their local library allows or provides. And it could be their local public library, it could be a college library, it could be a school library. A lot of different libraries offer these apps. That way people get an idea of how they work, what they like, what they don't like, and they may find that all the magazines that they want are right there. If they go to Apple News Plus, they could say, you know, is it worth an additional $10 for whatever additional magazines are being offered. And also you talked about Readly. About 18 months ago, AT&T Wireless offered Readly as a free benefit for their customers. And I don't know whether that is still in effect or not because I switched from AT&T to another carrier. So I hope that helps. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. And I liked his imagination shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
So
that's
yeah,
why we like video.
Start with your library.
Yes.
That's a good tip.
Yes.
And Glenn from Austin, he has a question about what happens to photos.
Hi, Leo. Hi, Megan. This is Glenn from Austin, Texas. Love the show. Been listening to it for several years and always get something out of every episode. When I add a photo from messages to photos that a friend might send me, if the date of that photo is recent, then it'll be trivial to find it in photos once I've added it because it'll be very close to the end of the photo stream. But if it happens to be an old photo, then of course photos correctly puts it in the correct place in the stream. But then of course when I go to photos, you know, it's like impossible to find. And typically I'm interested in finding it so that I can perhaps add it to an album for that friend, say. So anyway, that's it. Thanks again for a fantastic show and look forward to hearing your research and your response.
Well, I think one of the things I'd point out is that photos, like Google Photos, Apple Photos has a very good search capability where you can search not only by faces and places, but by categories. So if you know that that photo, for instance, has food in it, you could search for the food and find it, you know, using the search engine. By the way, that was a fabulous Sunday at Lala's. So I think this is something to remember, is that Apple has at least recently added some pretty good categorization. I think this was because Google did it also in Google Photos. And that would be my second suggestion, because if you use Google Photos, it's free, unlimited storage. You could put it on your iPhone and your iPad. It could back up to Google Photos as well as Apple Photos. And Google Photos has even better, more sophisticated search in it. So you could search for, and I have in the past, Paris in the snow, and it'll show you all of the pictures you took in Paris where it was snowing. And it's really, really good. This is Google using its AI. If you have privacy concerns, that's another matter. But if you don't mind using Google, I would add that, and then that way you can have two ways of finding that. I don't know of a way to say, when you get a picture, save this to today's date. In fact, if it did that, people would complain, saying, well, you know, sometimes that happens when you copy a photo over, you copy a photo library, everything is assigned the current date, and it destroys all the organization you had. So I think the default of using the creation date is probably the best.
Yeah. I think location is, when I've had that problem, I think the location is one way.
That helps a lot. Yeah. Really narrows it down quite a bit.
We got an email from Henry. He said, I've heard a few times on different TWIT programs about Overcast. And after you featured it on a recent iOS Today episode, I decided to give it a try. It took me a few hours to set it up by exporting, importing my podcast list via the OPML file from the Apple Podcast app, manually adding all the unlisted podcasts I had in my queue and customizing the settings. Once that was done, I started using it. And after a short time of acclimating to the user interface, found that I really liked it. I was getting close to purchasing a subscription, and then Tech News Weekly came on. I could hear your voice, but there was no video. Yikes! I searched for a while to see if the app could play videos, and sadly discovered that my suspicion about my new favorite podcast app was right. Overcast does not play videos.
Nope.
So it turns out that you were the deal breaker. Your face was, anyway. And he says that didn't come out right. It's okay. I get it. Thanks for the recommendation, as I really did like it. Is there a close second that you know of that does play video? I would say Pocket Cast.
Yeah, we really like Pocket Cast. It also is a paid product, but like Overcast, it allows you to subscribe and then set it up on a variety of devices. You could have it on your iPhone and your iPad, and it will know all your subscriptions. It'll even know what you've listened to, where you are in a podcast. And it plays video. I like Pocket Casts a lot. I like Overcast a lot because of that clip feature. So, you know, that was that. You know, for some reason, Marco has decided that nobody wants to watch podcasts. And, you know, the truth is, we're one of the few podcast networks that does video. I mean, I don't think it's that common.
No.
It's a lot of extra work and expense.
So I have no idea why.
Plus, you have to wear makeup and clothes. And so most podcasts are just audio.
And they don't wear clothes.
You know, most of our shows are mostly listened to on audio. This is the one of the few exceptions. People watch iOS Today more than they listen to iOS Today. But we offer both. And yeah, use a podcast application that'll do both if you want to see video.
Patrick Delahanty says he uses Downcast.
Downcast is great. Video. Really,
but
like
I
Downcast.
I am 99% committed to Pocket Casts. I do have a new app that I'm going to show you that has some great features, but once you get used to a podcast app, it's hard to turn back. So here's what Pocket Cast looks like on the iPad.
Yeah, this was very controversial, by the way. They changed the user interface recently, and people were really upset.
Yeah, I got used to it. I like it most. I also like it because it has a great Apple Watch apps, which I keep on.
That's really
my
nice feature.
So I can,
as does Overcast.
Change. Yes, yeah. They do have a good one. So
Apple
and I
recently
like
added Watch support for its podcast app. Right? Wasn't that recent?
Or yeah, did they do, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I like just having, you can have different playlists like this, like all your podcasts, unplayed in progress, last 2 weeks, media type. So if you want to just see the video, I really like that. Starred. So you can star different episodes and then have a playlist. I like that. So definitely check out Pocket Casts.
Yeah, I mean, this is an. I think most podcast people are listening in the car. They're not watching. In fact, that's kind of been the great bifurcation between YouTube and podcasts. Mm-hmm. If people want video, they put it on YouTube. And if they want podcasts, they do audio only. But honestly, there's so many ways now to listen to podcasts. Pick one you like.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I think we're going to start maybe seeing some problems and some reasons to choose one app over the other. One reason I think Marco will always, and Overcast will always be a good choice, is he's a podcaster himself, and he's very active in the podcast community, and he understands that there are some things podcast listeners don't want, such as tracking. And I expect that more and more podcast apps, because of demand from advertisers, will start tracking whether you listen, how long you listen, what parts you listen to. That is something that's coming, I think, in a lot of podcast apps. The only way to do it is with a specialized app, because otherwise we don't know. We can't tell. Mm-hmm. Apple started it with iTunes. It does monitor your listening behavior and offers that information to podcasters as well as presumably advertisers. I know Marco will never do that. So that's a good reason to support Overcast, because mm-hmm. it will always be tracker free.
All right, is it time for our app cap?
Well, that means I have to put on a funny hat to celebrate our fabulous, by the way, this is the hat I wear to press conferences.
Yes, otherwise they wouldn't let you in.
They wouldn't let me in. I'm the one who knocks. This is my Heisenberg hat.
It's a good hat. I have a blue hat. I'm a fan of it. I don't know what
that's
kind
a Kangol.
Oh, a Kangol.
It's kind of like an Andy Cap hat.
Oh, yeah. It's an Andy Cap.
Yes.
For our app cap.
Where we celebrate the best cap of the day.
Okay.
No, the best app of the cap. The best week's
cap of the app.
Today.
So here's an app that I've been using for about a week, and I really love it. And it is a podcast app.
Oh, a new one.
A new one.
Nice.
So I've been seeing how it compares to Pocket Cast. And what I love about it, it does something that no other podcast app does, and that is it's social. So...
You can share. It's called Swoot.
Swoot. And it was founded by the guys who developed HipChat. HipChat,
oh, this
of course,
is brand new.
It is brand new. It was sold.
I read about this.
These guys sold HipChat to Atlassian, who is now our sponsor. But then they did it because podcast discovery really needed some help, which we can agree on. And what I also like is it focuses on episodes. So like you can recommend podcasts to people, but you can also just recommend episodes to people. And you get podcast stats. So here it is. Here's Swoot. Here's what it looks like on the iPad. It also has an iPhone app. I've added all my subscriptions, and here are all my new podcasts. And here is my friends activity. So if you have Swoot, find me. I posted my link to my Swoot page on Twitter so people can be my friends and I can be your friend. But here's my friend activity. So I can see that Pete Curley an hour ago recommended this Recode Decode podcast with Sam Harris. I can see that he also recommended this person, who is Josh Bailey, recommended Current Geek. There was somebody, Mac Break Weekly. There's Josh Bailey recommends 2000
Thank you,
Nerds
Josh.
On a Boat. So I say, oh, I'm going to download that. So then I will press download and be able to see that. And so I can also see, in addition to what, if I want to just search for people or podcasts, let's see. I can search for Twit and look at all these people that listen to Twit and recommend it. All these, thank you, Tony Fleming, for listening to Security Now and recommending it. Josh Bailey, Windows Weekly. And I can also see that there are 141 people listening now, which is interesting to me. And I can also see my stats, which I'm very proud of, my listen history. So here's... So make sure you're not, you know, if you want to share this information, this is for people who want to share. If you listen to a podcast that you don't want anyone to know that you listen to, maybe this isn't the app for you. But I want to share. I want to know what other people are listening to, and I want people to know what I'm listening to. So I can also see. So here are my top shows in the 30 days. So I can see I've listened to Twit 4 hours and 53 minutes. That's a lot of time I devoted to you. And then I can see all of this. So I can look down and my top shows of all time here. And then I can also recommend specific episodes too. So I really like Marc Maron and Brené Brown. So they did this episode together. Marc Maron interviewed her. So I can just hit recommend. Oh, I already recommended it, so I can't remove my recommendation. So if you like this episode, you can recommend it by using Swoot, and then other people can find it. Or if you just love iOS Today, you can recommend it. Or other podcasts. So I believe I am Swoot/Megan Maroney. I think that's my profile. So find me. Share your favorite podcasts.
Aww.
There's me. Swoot. I tweeted it out. Because I have a lot of... different interests in my podcast. Look, someone just started following me, Nicholas Cannon. I am also going to follow Nicholas Cannon. Now
I bet you're going to get dozens of followers now.
Well, and it's because, like, you know, who needs followers on Twitter? What's that do for you? Nothing. But if you have followers here, then they can recommend podcasts and you can learn about more podcasts and just spend your entire life listening to podcasts.
I took a look at the privacy policy. They do keep track of what you listen to, who you share with. They do log into Facebook and offer some information back to Facebook. So something to be aware of. But yeah, it looks like a very usable podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it would presume that they would know that since I'm also sharing what I listen
to. Yeah, they have to, right?
Yeah, they have to. So yeah, it's public information how long and which, yeah, it's fine. But yeah, if you don't want that information.
My only concern is... down the road, I don't want advertisers to come to us and say, look, you have to make sure that your listeners will only listen to you on an app that's approved. That's, by the way, why Spotify is going to have so many apps, so many podcasts through Spotify, because they'll be able to track and sell that information to advertisers. And advertisers want it. They want to know more about you. They want to know everything you do, and they want to know whether you heard the ad, and they want to know how long you listened and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's my only concern about it. And it's not about Swoot. It's about just in general the podcast apps. Mm-hmm. You're going to Kauai.
I am.
When are you going?
June. Mm-hmm.
When we went to Kauai, we brought an app that now I'm very excited about. It's an entire category of apps. This is an example of, and I think one of the best examples of, tour guide apps that listen to, that know where you are, and then play tour information as you drive. So it's kind of like, the idea is kind of like you've got a guide in your back seat who knows as you're driving along. There are several of these. There's the Shaka Guide for Hawaii only, the Gypsy Guide, and by the way, it's a clever name because it's G-Y-P-S-Y. Get it? GPS Guide. Yeah. Have driving tours for a lot of areas, Yellowstone, Arches, Canada, the Icefields Parkway, Kamloops to Vancouver, the Grand Canyon, South Rim, and of course, a lot of Hawaii stuff. So if you're going to an area that there's a gypsy guide, I love these. Now, they're not free. It's about the cost of a guidebook. For Kauai, I think I bought the entire set, and there's quite a few of them for something like $20. Now, I can't show you how it works because we're not in Kauai. If you were in Kauai, as soon as you got in the car and opened the app, it would say, here's where you are, here's where we're going, here's your choices. Let me play a little bit of it for you right now. So, in fact, if you look at the map, all of these arrows, these little things, are indications that there's GPS, there's guide info. So I'll just play one now so you can hear it. The Fern Grotto.
We have two places of interest coming up before and after the bridge just ahead. The first is the opportunity to visit Fern Grotto.
So I found that the directions are very accurate, that they know where you are. The bridge up ahead really is just up ahead. They'll say things like, there's a sign on the left. So it's a completely audio way of navigating, and he'll often give you choices, as in this case.
Which has been called Kauai's most romantic place because it's long been a favorite place for weddings. The grotto is a natural amphitheater in the lava rock. What makes it idyllic is the abundance of ferns.
So I like their narrator.
Ferns that adorn the walls.
He's personable.
Access to the grotto nowadays is by a short river cruise operated by the Smith family, and I'll point that out up ahead.
So they really give you a lot of information.
To be able to go right inside the grotto, but some dangerous rock slides forced authorities.
It's also up to date, as far as
to
I could tell.
Viewing the grotto from a platform,
and there's a lot of history too.
It's
still
a very nice experience that requires very little effort by the visitor.
As you're driving along, and notice it has two different directions. So depending on which way you're going, because sometimes you'll go up a road and back down it, it'll give you different content as you're going, which I think is fantastic. Let's see, where do you want to go? Donkey Beach? Why not? Mm-hmm.
There are two places out of sight on our right here that I want to tell you about.
Isn't that great?
You don't really have to go see them unless you really want to.
And I found the information really... like it's a buddy in your back seat saying, okay, there's some places up ahead. Let me describe them. You don't feel like you have
to
stop.
If you want to bike or walk the shoreline path, you get closer to them. The first is the pineapple dump. Sounds great, doesn't it? There was once a pineapple cannery close by here.
He has a great sense of humor.
Like much of
the only complaint I had is that the narrator apparently likes shave ice an awful lot because he points out every single shave ice place. Kauai, you don't really go inside. This is all mountainous. But as you can see, there's roads that go all the way around it, even some fairly inaccessible roads. And he'll take you all the way. I think this is really great.
All right, my friends, just a few more bends and we'll be at the car park of the Kalalau Lookout. Just before it, you'll see the giant white dome of the military radar facility. There's no need for us to turn into there, and the parking lot is just a little bit past it. The view from the lookout is down the Kalalau Valley, all the way down to the ocean.
So there are many of these. In fact, I think Google started it. They had a field trip application that as you walked around, it would describe points of interest. But this one is, after trying the Shaka Guide, this is my favorite, certainly for Kauai, and I would say for all of the Hawaiian Islands. It's just a really dynamite thing. What's great about it is you can start at any point. So wherever you are, it'll just pick it up. So as long as you're on a road that they cover, and they pretty much cover all the roads, you're going to have a guide telling you what's going on.
I just bought it.
Oh, good.
Because I'm going to listen to it before. Because then
Yeah, I mean, you can do it. As you can see, I'm able to play these one by one, but it kind of makes more sense as you're driving through there. But I think what you're going to do is you're going to find, and Kauai is one of those places where you really do drive a lot. There's a little bit of mass transit, but not a lot. It's not very convenient. You're going to be renting a car almost certainly. So this makes a lot of sense. Our rental car had CarPlay, so it was great. I put it on the iPhone, plugged it into CarPlay. I was able to, you know, hear it through the speakers, totally control it. It was really fantastic. This is, and there are quite a few of them. If there's a gypsy guide for the area you're going to, and there's Canadian Rockies, there's Hawaii, and I hope they're going to continue to do more. The Las Vegas gypsy guide, we're going there in a couple of weeks. I think we'll probably fire that up. It includes three tours from Las Vegas, the Hoover Dam Tour, the Grand Canyon West Rim, and Red Rock Canyon. So that's a really nice thing because you can say, okay, let's go to Red Rock Canyon. And sure, you can look at a guidebook and get all that information, but somebody's got to read while you're driving. This is like somebody in the car with you reading. I am really happy, not just about this particular one, but about the whole idea in general of these GPS guides. It's really a great use of a smartphone. Because you've got the location information and the content is fantastic. They seem to have kept it really up to date. And so it's worth, say, $25 for the whole Hawaii collection. It's like buying a guidebook.
Mm-hmm.
How much was just Kauai? $20?
$7.
$7 for the whole island?
Yes.
Great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Great deal. $10 for the big island. That's our next stop in Hawaii. I just love this idea. It's like having a friend in the car with you. A friend who really likes shave ice, but okay. Many people do.
Yeah.
He did tell us where the best shave ice in Kauai is.
Okay.
It's on the way up to Waimea Canyon, just so you know.
Okay. That's all we got.
That's it. That's it for the show. Thank you so much for joining us on iOS today. If you love your iOS devices like we do, your iPhone, your Apple Watch, your iPad, or your Apple TV, we're going to probably do an Apple TV segment pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you tune in. We do the show. Normally, we're on a different time schedule today because of Google I.O. and Microsoft Build, but normally we do it every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern time. That would be 1600 UTC. If you want to watch live, you can do it at twit.tv/live. You can also listen live. Yeah, we do audio and video. You can also get on-demand versions of everything we do at our website, twit.tv, for this show. It's twit.tv/iOS. And if you don't want to take the time to download it, do get a podcast application like Swoop or Swoot or Overcast or Pocket Casts.
Downcast,
whatever
even
you
the
like.
Apple Podcast app.
Yeah. And subscribe. That's the key. If you subscribe, then you, even if we move a show around or it's at a different time, you'll get it automatically the minute it's available. You don't even have to think about it. It's kind of like a gypsy guide for your brain.
Yes, exactly.
And we love the videos. Keep sending them.
Keep sending them. I have one for next week already in the can waiting to go. Next week, we're going to talk about Apple Watch apps.
That's great because there's a new Apple Watch version 6 coming soon. Mm-hmm. So send an email to Megan at twit.tv. You could send us a link to a YouTube video or send the video direct if you want. But we would ask, it's fine if you shoot it vertically. We don't mind that. But make sure it's not too long, 30 seconds thereabouts. And start with your first name and city so we know where you're from. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'll see you next week. We'll see you next week on iOS Today. Bye-bye.